Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. Hour number two already. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run over to Venice, Louisiana. Let's check in with Captain Mike Jeffcoat, RJ's Hunting and Fishing, see what he's up to. Good morning, Mike. What's happening?
Well, nothing but the wind, bro.
Yeah, that's hot topic.
Down everywhere. Hot topic. Yep, sure is. So now I'm back in the saddle this morning. Let's get down there and see what I can get done. So, I talked to everybody yesterday, and it's good, you know. It's just the wind. That's the whole deal. You know, we're having fish outside, so just have to pick side of the river that you can get protected in.
Right.
Go from there. I mean, trout bites, just still just, I don't know. Ain't nobody can understand it. I mean, I wish they'd lay off of them a little bit, but, you know, that's part of the deal, though.
Yeah. Get them while they're hot, baby. Get them while they're hot.
I don't see it slowing down. I mean, the river's starting to fall, so, you know, it's just going to draw more of them to it. So.
Well, hopefully there's an endless supply. They just keep coming.
Yeah, well. You know, there's so many places them trout are not getting harassed, you know, just because it's muddy. You know, when you drive by it, that don't mean they ain't there, so.
True. Very true.
You know, it's just like them boys. I watched some of that Bassmaster yesterday. I mean, some of them are starting to catch them now. They figured it out.
Yeah.
So.
In the Sabine watershed.
You see that one skeeter that tried to go up one of them skinny canals? I mean, he didn't have a dry.
Remember when Nelly beached that boat up there and something? It was a bayou, but it looked more like a ditch. He ended up in the trees.
Yeah, this same scenario. He had been filming it. I think he'd done it during practice. And, I mean, this ditch wasn't much wider than the boat.
Yeah, I can't even turn a boat around in it.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess he must have been something on the other end of it that, you know, opened back up. I don't know, but he stuck her. I don't know, I'm sure they're going to have to get our boat to get him. So. Anyhow, it's interesting. Boy, that bass is in a big funk right now about that forward-facing tunnel.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy over that, isn't there?
Yeah, and there's some of them that's done quit. I said, if that's what y'all going to do and the way we're going to fish, we're done. So some of the older guys. Then they disqualified somebody, too, at Fork, I think, for broke the information rule.
Oh, here we go again. I mean, if you're a fisherman and you're anywhere in any kind of public array and there, I mean, anybody talking, I mean, you can overhear conversations about fish all day long. I mean, it's all fishermen together. I mean,
how you not talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or how do you not listen to it? Oh, that guy's talking about catching them. I gotta go, guys. I can't hear what he's saying. I'm fishing a tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fine line there.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if Bassmaster's going to be able to survive this or not. I mean, they can always find people to enter, I guess, but, you know, as far as the elite guys, they're not very happy right now.
Well, if they had a new networking rule or a clause like that in saltwater tournaments, everybody would be DQ'd.
Yeah.
Never seen such networking.
Yeah. No, that's about it. Like I said, it's hot. Good thing about that. The only good thing is that wind. Yeah, that wind's a plus on that. So,
well, it's keeping the air cooler along the coast because the water temperatures aren't real high now. You know, they're now hitting 80 degrees, and it's keeping a lot cooler than high ground.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
when you come in on the water, it's actually pleasant, and then when you hit the dock, it's hot.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing, boy. When you turn off of that bayou coming into the marina, it's like turning a heater on.
Yeah. Exactly. Hicks.
So, but, I mean, last week when I fished, 75 was the highest I saw. So, but, I mean, we got a lot of river water flowing right now, so it's going to keep it cool for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that Mississippi runs cool.
It does. So, you know, I guess that rain let up up north, so hopefully we're going to get it back down some.
Hopefully so.
How about Livingston? Did it ever back off yet?
Check it this morning. It's been hanging there at about 48.3. Let's see what it is this morning. I can find that real quick. I say I can. Here it comes. Yeah, they dropped it 5,000. It's 43.9 now.
Yeah. Marlene had sent me a picture. She had to go up there Wednesday, I think it was. He had to go help do a tour deal there. You know, they got a hydro plant on the overflow deal there. And she sent a picture in. I don't know if it got, because they have a marker there at that plant. And there's a lot of water coming out of there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you can watch that. They have a drone video they show of it, too. You know, the gates and all that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool looking. Wish he'd get a little closer. I want to hear the roar.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I want to hear the roar of the water coming through the gates. That's a lot of power.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, all that rain. I guess the reason the wind's kind of laid down along the coast this morning is because most of that rain slid over east, over towards, you know, Alabama.
Right.
Mid-Mississippi area, and then all up through Tennessee. And so,
well, it's like I saw yesterday morning, was it yesterday or the day before? It was pretty good rain up around Dallas, so that river might not back off as fast as I think it was going to for you.
It may not. I mean, there's still, we're not out of the woods yet on that. You know how Dallas, that area is up there, man. They get one system through there, dump 8 or 10 inches of rain, and buddy, then you got issues.
Yeah, you do.
Coming down these rivers.
Everything's getting flushed, that's for sure.
Oh, it is. So. I'll tell you, that fresh water doesn't bother them bull reds or the bull sharks. I know that.
No. I saw it too.
It's like they just keep going upstream into it.
I don't know. I guess it was Mother's Day or something when that bath ward over New Orleans come over the levee, and they were showing one of them canals. Maybe the bull shark, one of them canals in New Orleans. That was crazy.
Yeah, that's something, how those sharks are drawn to that fresh water like that.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
I mean, as soon as they come through the passes in the spring when that water temp gets, you know, in the 70s, man, they're, I remember one spring.
I heard somebody.
It was like March, early March. I was up in the top end of Trinity Bay, and one of my guys yelled at me and said, something just hit my stringer. I said, well, pull it up and look at it. He said, I'm scared to. I said, well, look at it. I waited over there and pulled it up, and nothing but heads left.
I mean, that is right.
Early March, we're still in waders. Yep. Sharks are already up there.
Well, that's one thing, you know. It could have changed, you know, and I hadn't fished in 5 or 6 days, so I'd caught one hardhead, no gap tops, hadn't seen no sharks, but you know, time for that water temperature pick up a little bit near the gum. So, and I was talking to the bait guy too. He said he is. He's not picking up anything in his net, you know, for his hard heads.
Well, you're a little later over there than we are, but they're coming because they've showed up here. We got them.
Have it.
Oh, yeah. Blaine was telling me the other day that you couldn't keep them off popping cork and shrimp. They just boom. And where he's at, I actually caught some on lures up there about a month ago. And not a lot of them, just one here and one there. But, man, he said they're becoming a nuisance now.
Yep. That's what kind of gets me into, like in Venice, you know, 55 cents a piece of them shrimp, and then gap top hardhead show up. That's kind of hard to swallow.
We're crying about $23 to $25 a quart over here, and y'all are getting how much a piece?
55 cents a piece.
55 cents per shrimp. Jeez. Yep.
So, you get on top of them like that, you know, it don't take long for them. And the more you keep throwing in there, the more of them's going to come to it. So.
Right. Bait them up. We're chummy.
Bait them up. Yeah, absolutely.
Come get them.
You know, well, my show's made a pull off last night.
Another one. Hey, man, I'm liking that. Last year, there was no coming back. Once we got in, we stayed down.
Uh-huh. How much longer is Alvarez out?
I don't know. You know, you just kind of always thought something wasn't quite right all year.
Yeah.
You know, he was late, and, you know, his swing just, you know, he didn't have that snap in his bat. He's been, something to do with his hand. You know, I don't know whether it's ligament inflammation or pull. I don't know what the deal is. They're not saying.
Well, they need him back because that just having one left-handed batter ain't helping.
No, it's not.
So, especially, you know, and that aggravated me because I was all fired up for a check game. And I called Darlene's. Yeah, I'm going, what's up? Oh, they don't have it on Friday night.
TV, here we go again.
But yes.
And I'm not going to buy it and put it on my,
no, I am not.
You know, just to watch one game here and there every other week or whatever.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm a radio guy anyway. I just turn it on radio, listen to it on the radio.
Well, I can't do that better, so. I guess I could. I mean, technology's out there. It'd probably be a delayed deal, though. But, you know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's about all shaking
in
my
world. Yeah, the station I listen on, I can barely hear it in Chambers County. So, you know, once the sun goes down, I guess they turn the power down, and it's real crackly. And
you know, and when we was a kid, they turned it up.
Yeah.
Because there was no Country Western channel. I think it's still on out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Right.
Oh, man, I can't remember. It was world famous, though. I listen to that thing every night.
Yep.
It's crazy. All the way from Dallas to Montgomery County, you know, plain as day.
Remember those transistor radios you could put in your shirt pocket? Hey, my dad walked around one of those all the time back in the day, listening to the Astros games and Lowell Pass. Remember him calling the games?
Yep. That in my local.
Oh, Gene Elston and Lowell Pass, I believe, were their names.
Yeah, oh, that was it.
We didn't have all this good TV stuff like we have now. You had to listen to them on the radio if you didn't go to the park. Oh, well. All right, brother. Well, hey, man, go get them. Get after it.
All right, brother.
Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come play ball.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting Fish.
All right, man. Well, hey, have a good day, Mike. Be safe out
there. Oh, yeah.
Catch them up.
You going down to Bolivar today?
I went yesterday. No, I didn't. I saw the lines on the highway on 87. I'm going, good Lord. It was.
I know we need to go, but, man, I saw all that law enforcement down there. I mean, that's Harris County down there, DPS, everybody.
Hey, Chambers County, I mean, all of them, they're all there. DPS like crazy.
No stopping.
Well, maybe they'll weed out the bad apples. And you know, that thing's fine. You know, it was a great idea and all, but then, you know, you get these bad apples that infiltrate the fun and mess it up for everybody, man.
All right, dude, I know you got to go. Later.
See you, brother. Later. Well, folks, if you need pipe and valves, fittings and instrumentation, fasteners and gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks, same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team, over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction, Allied does it all. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all. That's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 520 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's head down G-Town way, Tiki Island, Texas, see what James Plogg's up to this morning. Good morning, James.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, not a lot, not a lot.
Nothing. Sitting here watching my old neighbors getting ready to go fishing.
Yeah, it's fishing season, baby.
Yeah, not for me. Not for me.
Hey, coming out.
It's listening to Charlie. Why does Charlie even book Saturdays? He said he didn't know.
You know, when he booked this trip months ago, and he didn't know there was going to be a couple of tournaments.
Yeah, but it's a Saturday anyway. It wouldn't matter if the Easter money was going. Poor Charlie. Oh, I was laughing. I'm trying to see if there's any fish in these lights, man, but I don't even see much bait. You know, we had another like big old shad hatch, and I think some of them died. A bunch of them died, and then a bunch of them lived. Now you don't see many.
Boy, shad are their own worst enemy. They get their big stupid. Tight they schools, and they just deplete all the oxygen in the water, and they just die.
You know, and it's years when it's a good, I guess when it's the water or whatever's right for there to be a bunch of shads, then they just kill themselves, There's just billions of them. But see, like right now, I'm just sitting here looking at the tides. The tide's low, man. It goes out against this wind, buddy.
Yeah. We're still in a negative pool at night, middle of the night. Yeah. It goes out crazy.
It's a foot low.
But it'll roll in this morning.
I don't even know what day it is. Thursday, man, we're sitting in these fish, and they're there. I mean, we're just pecking at them. There ain't no current. And we sit there. I had a guy. He came with one of my guys, Larry Bell, and his brother. They listen to your show. They've been fishing with us. They would go back way to the Hodges days, back in them days.
Uh-huh.
And,
boy, they're old-timers then. They've been around a while.
Oh, yeah. Man, we're pecking on them. I'm telling y'all, there's a bunch of fish here. And they brought this new guy. He fishes a lot with Jay, and this guy is good. And, man, you'd switch to something, put a topwater on, get a bite or two, and they'd fade. Mm. Put a tail on, and some different kind of tail, straight retrieve, jigging. You just couldn't get them going. And he caught a couple. So what you throwing? I said, man, I'm throwing a Lele. Really? And I put one on, and I'm fishing. And I don't get nothing. And I went through something else, don't get nothing. And because I'm leaving at like 5 o'clock in the morning right now. And I'm looking down there at my boat. I said, man, I better go turn these lights off before all this stuff goes dead. And I needed something. I said, let me go turn the lights off. And I think at that time we had caught 15. And I turned around, I'm walking, I turn around, look back at them, and two of them got a fish on. I said, oh, that's good. They got them going a little bit. Hey, man, by the time I went to the boat, got whatever I needed, turned my lights off, they done caught like 15 more. They are stroking. Good ones, too. Nice fish. And I walked down there. I catch two, and I guess at that time we had caught like 30, 35 or something. I said, man, let's get out of here. Let's go. And some bunch of nice fish. I'm catching very few little ones right now, like too small. And not really many 15-inchers. They're all pretty nice fish. Some fours, nothing bigger than 4 pounds. So we leave there, and I said, man, go check something. So I go back over there and looked at something, and it was muddy. Man, there's so many bad places with bad water. I said, man, this ain't no good. Let's go. And I said, let me go check one other thing. We're fit to go home. Larry and them, we done caught, 35 fish. Let's go. And I said, man, let me check one little thing real quick for tomorrow. I was going to use it for Friday. Man, we stepped out of the boat, and the boat hit me in the back of the head, and we stepped there and catch 10. They're the best fish we caught all day, like instantly. Huh. I said, man, let's go. This is good. So I go back yesterday. I started back where I did Thursday. Yeah, I said, okay, look, man, about 8 o'clock, we'll peck on them. About 8 o'clock, these fish are going to fire off. Well, I get there, man, it looks like that tide's coming in. And I get out of the boat, my second cast. Boom, I catch one. I said, well, hell, one of them's biting. It's dark. I mean, it's like 5:40. It's like 20 minutes to 6. And Rick, man, they had been at some CCA deal. All they were worried about, they were tired, man. Said, hey, look, we need to be taking. We ain't looking. We ain't searching coon hunting. We if we catch them, we're going home. I said, all right, we'll go. Hey, man, we catch like 12 before the sun ever come up. They're like, hey, man, we can go. I said, man, we ain't going. The sun ain't even up yet. We're not going home yet. So we fished till 7:30, and I think we caught 32. In the last 15 minutes we were fishing, well, they quit. They kind of quit. I think we had 30. Because I always keep – and good fish. We might have caught two that were too small, maybe. Yeah. And two of my guys, they go back to the boat. Me and Tony just standing there. And nothing. I said, man, I'm telling you, about 8 o'clock, they're going to fire up. It's like 7:40. He said, man, we better go. By the time they pop the slick, maybe just pop the slick right there in front of you, Tony. Throw right there. He makes about 3 casts, nothing. I said, all right, let's go. He throws back out there, boom, catches one about 3 pounds. I said, man, look at that. And I turn around, I threw right behind him, roll it back through. Boom, I catch one. He ain't quite 3 pounds, but he's nice. And I said, I'm telling you, they're fixing to go off again. We catch another 30. He said, yeah, what we're going to catch is that boat. We're fixing to catch that dock. Let's go.
Man.
So we left. But the last 2 days have been really good fishing. Really good. Nice fish. I mean, I had one jump on my lure yesterday on a topwater. I don't know what I throw, maybe that little sheep up, that little pink thing I like to use. And he never touched the bait, and I watched him come out of the water. I looked down there at Rick, and I said, I guarantee you that fish was well over 4 pounds. I mean, yeah. I looked at him, and Rick put a topwater on. By his third cast, he catches one that's, you know, probably over 4 pounds. I said, man, I didn't think they're, you know, when the initial bite kind of slowed up, then the fish got better. You know, I wanted to stay. They made me go home. I want to keep fishing for a little while. But it was good fishing. I don't know where the little ones are. You know, Monday I told you we caught like 80 of them things. But now you don't catch too many little ones. But hey, so this guy, his name's Matt. He's a great dude, man. He fished with Jay a lot. We took a picture and sent it to Jay, and I sent some nice sign language with it. So we were jacking with him. I said, man, let me see that Lele. He's trying to explain to me. I said, man, I know about Lele. Hey, if you'd have put 50 Lele's on the table and told me to pick one, that would have been the last one I ever picked was the one he was using. And, Mickey, they, you know, he fished so much with Jay. He's telling me about some double D crown roll purple looking thing. So it's got like a purple back, some kind of gold jute. It's something I never would throw. I mean, it just ain't what, you know, we don't fish in real clear water. I would never get it out. You wouldn't get it out. Buddy, he was getting them. I mean, he was making me sad. I'm like, that's probably why I went down to the boat. I started just going back to the boat, turn lights off. Hell, I can't catch nothing. And so yesterday, I was telling my guys about it. This other guy named Matt was fishing with me. Well, he pulls a Lele out, and it's that same color. I said, no, that's what he was using. Why do y'all like that? I said, I never would pick that out. Well, he puts an own thing. He going to set the world on fire. He ain't never even cut a feather on that thing. They didn't want it. He was catching them on that. Hey, he was getting them on that Lele when nothing would bite. You know, when they didn't want to touch nothing. Hey, right. I went through everything.
Kind of like we used to do back in the day with thunder sticks.
Same. I just didn't. I don't think it was the color, Mickey. I don't think I was working my bait right. I'm watching them how they fish. How he's fishing. He's really just barely reeling underneath the water and kind of just barely bumping it. And I couldn't do it. And, you know, we like to dig them down and let it set, kind of beat on it a little bit.
Yeah.
They didn't want nothing like that. And I still say it wasn't the color. It was the way he was working his bait.
Most
likely. Even yesterday, they would go from, hey, man, they want it straight in. Hey, they're off of that. Now you got to start back jigging it. They would switch right in the middle of the bite, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the color ain't really mattered. I mean, I thought you needed something dark. I said, Tony, what are you throwing? He's throwing a shrimp sea shad, just reeling straight in with lighting them up. So the color really didn't matter.
No.
But both in places I'm fishing, or three or four places I'm fishing, there's a bunch of fish. I mean, it probably don't matter what you do. I mean, if you're just trying to catch, you know, three stupid fish, you can do that in like three casts.
Three casts, yeah.
Yes, that. Exactly. Remember, we tried to, hey, when it was 20, we was trying to catch a 100-pound limit. When it was 10, we was trying to catch a 60-pound limit.
Yeah.
I did talk to a buddy of mine, and you know him. And he caught one Tuesday. No, he caught one Thursday. No, I'm sorry, Wednesday and all that wind. He caught one Thursday in a place. If you'd have told me you need to go catch one 27 inches, I'd tell you they don't exist. Caught a really, really big one, man. He was like 27 inches and fat, buddy.
Yeah.
He, you know, he don't kill fish. I said, how big was he? He said, oh, he's over 7 pounds. I don't know if he was 8, but he was over 7.
Right.
And it's a place that, if you'd have told me, look, you need to go here and fish for big trout, I said, you're stupid, man. There ain't no big trout right there. So there's some floating around, man.
Oh, there's some unicorns and rainbows too.
Yeah,
we got
them. And they pop out in places you wouldn't, you know. Now, where I've been fishing down here, you know, there's some there. I think they're there. That's where I would go to, you know, where Cameron caught that fish.
Mm-hmm.
But where he caught that fish, it ain't where I would go to fish once.
Well, let me knock this break out. Hang on a second. I'll be right back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Check out their bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage and homemade hot dogs, original and with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloins, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your barbecue backyard barbecue party headquarters, and they're introducing their new truck chuck wagon patties. These are really cool half pound beef patties, seasoned to perfection and loaded with cheddar cheese. And you can try their grab and go snacking products like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage and dry sticks, and their wild game processing facility. Check out their new sausage recipe that's available. It's really good. You got to try it. And get you some deer tamales, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:37 here in the Bayou City. All right, James, we're back.
All right. Hey, I was watching my old neighbors. They got some kind of hand pump thing, and they're pumping gas in their boats. I was going to be an old budget chopper one time. I had a gas dolly. It was like a 24-gallon gas dolly.
I remember those.
Dude, I was going to be Mr. Money Saver, and I never forget, I went and got my gas. And then by the time you drop it off the back of your truck, you may or may not blow the little tires out on it. And I wheeled it down there to the dock. The tide was super low. And it was gravity-fed. You remember they were gravity-fed.
Uh-huh.
I'm putting my old gas in there, and I keep pulling it on that thing, and that whole thing fell on top of me, fell on top of the boat, gas went everywhere. Hey, as soon as I finally got cleaned up, I loaded that thing up. I took it straight to Robbie's. I threw it in his driveway. I said, y'all can have all of this. I don't care what I save on fuel. I'm going to go somewhere to a gas pump on the water and get some gas.
Exactly.
Sitting there to kill myself trying to save 15 cents. Oh, man. I'll never forget. I was laughing at them guys over there. That's terrible. Yeah, those things. And we blew the tires out all the time because when you drop it off back of your truck, it's 24 gallons of fuel is a lot of fuel, you know?
Yeah, that's heavy.
And that old both tires would pop out and you have to go buy another tire. Man.
Wheel that out on a long pier where your boat's at and everything. By the time you do all that, you're too tired to go fishing.
You can't even go fishing. Hey, people notorious on Tiki, they drive to their Tiki house with their big trucks. Next thing I know, they get in their golf cart and they go get these 6 or 7 gallon gas cans and go fill their boat up. They're going down Tiki Drive. Their old gas cans fall out of the old golf cart and they're all on the side of the road. So, man, look, we got Pelican Ranch right over there. You idle over there and get you some fuel, get you some coffee, and go on down the road.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. But no, I don't know, man. I think if it ever calms down, I looked at it. what did I tell you the other day? It was finally fished the layout, but it don't last long though, Mickey. I looked at it, something else goes bad. Man, I think you're right on your whatever day you pick, June, whatever it was.
Yeah, June 6th.
Yeah. Well, I got to go tomorrow. It actually doesn't look terrible to barb. Tomorrow's like 11 to 16 knots. So that's not terrible. Monday goes nuts again, 17 to 23 knots. Oh, you're going to like Tuesday. You like Tuesday, it'll be good, 20 to 30 knots.
Well, that forecast this morning, they're showing gust over 40 for tomorrow.
See, buoy weather ain't got that.
Yeah,
they don't even have no gust. They got 11 to 16 in the morning. Now, they could change. Buoy weather's bad about changing. And then in the afternoon, they got 11 to 15 knots, so nothing. Tuesday goes nuts. You're going to love Wednesday, too. North-northeast, 16 to 21 knots. It ain't going to be this week. Oh, look, if you don't like that, you're really going to love Thursday. It's north. It's straight up north, 21 knots. I've never seen that on buoy weather. There ain't no in-between.
Just 21 knots.
Straight up 21 knots. But check this out. In the afternoon, on the 22nd, it goes 4 to 8 knots. And then we're money. On Friday, nothing. Saturday, I guess this Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yeah.
Next weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Man, Friday's money. Saturday's money. Sunday's not terrible.
That's unusual. Usually Memorial Day weekend, you can depend on it to crank.
Yeah, well, it is. On Monday, you better get all your whatever you're going to do Memorial Day in on water-wise. Hey, Monday, it goes straight up 16 to 21 knots.
Oh, boy.
The only window, Mickey, I wish I could go as far as June the 6th, but it stopped. You can't
tell. Well,
I'm
just throwing that out there. I have no idea, and at this point, it doesn't matter.
It sounds good. See, you're confident about it. People say, is that really how it is? So, hell, I don't know. I just made that up, but it sounds good. I like it.
It sounds good. Hey, it's a prediction like everybody else's. Hey,
yeah.
Throw it
hey,
out
you know,
as long
yeah.
it sticks.
Yeah, like yesterday afternoon, we came in, Rick, man, they made me come in. I pulled in to the dock at like, hell, it wasn't, it was just after 8 o'clock. But yesterday afternoon, and it was windy, it was cranking pretty good, and I went to the golf course, and I was coming back about 3 o'clock. I said, man, it laid down, and it got, well, it wasn't white capping, so it was under 10 or 12 miles an hour. It got nice mm-hmm. yesterday afternoon for just a little bit. Must have some storms or something got close to us or something.
I don't know. I didn't see anything on radar, but that don't mean anything.
Well, I didn't look, but it did get decent. But there's a lot of fish in open water that ain't getting touched, though.
That's good.
Yeah, it
Save
is
them.
Good.
Save them for seed. Let them spawn before we harass them.
For sure. Like you said, you ain't putting no dent in nothing with three fish. But
no, you're not.
But I still don't like killing them. I don't even like carrying my stringer. It's weird. I just don't like it. But because my guys, of course, they keep their fish, which is fine. I don't care. Limit the limit.
Well, the law says they can go for it.
I didn't clean one. The few fish I was cleaning prior to like right now. Some days it was all males, and it was half and half. And I didn't even clean a male trout yesterday. All of them females. So now is like, if you don't need them, is a good time just to put them back.
True.
Because what you're catching, probably about 95% is a female right now.
Well, we're fixing to come up on our best spawn of the year in June with a full moon.
You're right. You're exactly right.
That's going to be a big one.
Yeah, now's a good time. Hey, man, if you don't need them, just turn them loose and let them go do what they're going to do, man. Like you always said, you can't have 7-8 pounders if you're whacking all the 3 and 4 pounders.
That's right.
Can't do it, man.
Just can't. I mean, it's just, that's basic math.
Yeah, but the average size of the fish, though, Mickey, right now,
it's been steadily getting better
good.
Each month.
Yeah.
You can just see.
I'm even surprised. I mean, I'm surprised, man, we ain't catching. I tell my guys, man, I can't believe we ain't catching a bunch of little ones.
They're still out there. They're just where we're not fishing right now. Because, I mean, the amount of little fish I saw this spring, you know, late winter, early spring, I'm going, man, oh, man, this is crazy.
Yeah, well, it's just like what I did Monday. You know, I had that was my first boat fishing day. And I see what, and I don't even like to do that. But where I was, and I was caught in a trap, kind of like Elvis, there was, I didn't have nothing to do but do that. And we wasn't killing very many. You know, I don't let, you know, I know we killed some. We caught like 80. You probably whacked 3 or 4 of them. But, you know, when you do that, like you say, you don't flip them in the boat. You don't let them flop around. You know, treat them with respect.
Yeah.
And set the hook. Don't sit there and wait on them. I said, dude, look, man, he's done been on there. Look at that lure. You feed him, set the hook, and you catch him in the corner of the mouth.
Oh, I used to hate it when, man, they'd hook those fish so deep, you'd have to call a proctologist to get a hook removed.
Oh, dude, it's terrible. You can't even see the jig is. You might as well just cut it off, just throw him back in.
That's it. That's all you can do. I mean.
I'm telling you. Oh, Lord.
And what I hate, too, is when they're really feeding good and you're catching them and they throw their stomach up. And I always take a – I've got a – pair of smooth rounded, remember them old hookouts, the old stainless ones? I'll take that and I'll push on the end of that stomach and then shove it all the way back inside of them and then turn it loose. You throw him back with his stomach thrown up in his mouth, he doesn't have a chance. He's done. He's ballooned.
Yeah. Hey, they'll do that too. That's just like a big marlin or something. He's trying to, even if you got him in the corner on a circle hook, he thinks he's got something. He'll try to throw his stomach up. I actually caught one like that the other day, me. And he's hooked correctly. And I'm like, look at that, man.
He threw his stomach up. Yeah.
He threw his own stomach up. I said, check this out.
Yeah.
He must have thought it was down there, man. Yeah, it's pretty cool what fish try to do to get rid of stuff.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Hey, I caught a redfish somewhere. It's been 4 or 5 years ago. And the guys, I mean, we're keeping fish. Anyway, I got this nasty red. There's something coming out of him. I said, man, what is this? Dude, I cleaned him. It was a hard, it was white. Of course, it wasn't white anymore. It was all moss. It was like a quarter ounce white rattle trout that's been in that redfish. There ain't no telling how long. Because it had like moss on it, green moss and stuff. He was still percolating. I tell you, you can't kill a redfish. You can drag him behind your truck and almost can't kill him.
I'm telling you, they are hardy fish. I wish trout were that hardy.
Ain't that the truth? And they're so nasty. We caught one in the middle of them fish, surging, wading throughout there. And I watched his rod bend. I said, that ain't no trout. You might have a drum. But it was going too fast. You got a big old nasty red. And that's what it was, about a 30-incher.
You know, the other morning, Sammy and Raz and I, the first cast, I pulled in on, I don't know, two or three little old pop slicks and put the troll motor down east in there and fired out, and boom, I'm on. I said, what have I got? And it, you know, it was heavy, and it made a little bit of a run, but not much, and it started all that back and forth all the way to the boat and just staying deep, and I'm going, man, I must have a big old black drum on here or something. This is crazy. But I said he ate it as soon as it hit the water, and I farted around with that fish, I don't know, 6-7 minutes, and finally he came up and blew a hole in the water you could throw in a Volkswagen in, and it was about a 42-inch redfish, and he just didn't fight. I think I caught him while he was sleeping. I don't know.
He probably did. He may be too old to fight.
He may be too old to fight. I don't know.
Man, we ought to be able to kill one like that. And just, I don't know what you do with them, make fertilizer with them, but there's too many of them, dude. There's too many of them nasty big redfish like that.
Well.
How about that being your first cast? They go 42-inch red. I pulled up left. I wouldn't even have fished. Did you keep fishing there or did you leave?
No, I think we ended up catching two trout right behind that, and that decoyed me in to stay there a little longer.
Oh, and sucked you on in right there?
Sucked me in for a little bit, and then I think we caught another big old nasty rubber lip, and I don't know. We pecked about 8 or 10 trout out there and said, hey, this is enough. Let's get out of here.
Let's go. I did that out in front of Spillway, between the Spillway and Red, 2-3 years ago. I ran from up at, I didn't come from Riverside. We wasn't catching nothing. Man, I see them birds working out there, and it's a bad, it's that old Bull Red Alley. I said, man, I know better than to even go out there, but we ain't catching anything. Man, y'all try right there. It might be some trout. This guy hooks a little old trout about 13 inches long. This guy hooks a redfish, a giant red, and then the guy with the pencil trout, there's like a 40-inch red trying to eat that thing coming in. I said, oh, man, I knew better than to stop out here, man.
I mean, it's Piranha City. I was talking to – I run into a guy somewhere. I forget where I was at, but he said his dad used to live on my side of the bay down the road from me, and then he moved over to Anahuac a few years ago, and he's got a pier and a dock and all that over there. And he said, hey, you would not believe what goes on at night over there in that Anahuac pocket. They'll turn those lights on. And he said, it's the most bull reds you'll ever see. They're like sharks swimming around in the lights, eating trout, eating everything. He said, you know, I thought y'all were crazy about talking about how these bull reds are eating trout. And he said, you know, there's glass minnows and shad and shrimp hopping everywhere, and the bull reds are eating the trout that are trying to eat the small bait fish. He said, it's crazy.
100%. Hey, you think about it, Mickey, a 40-inch red, he's pretty big old fish. Yeah, either I can get me a glass minnow, or I can go ahead and get me this 13-inch trout right here and fill on up and be done with it.
Well, those big reds, you can stick a cantaloupe in their mouth. Just think what, you know, how big a trout they can swallow. Because they basically really, you know, those big bull reds, they like mullet. And
they like mullet.
There's more trout than there is mullet up my way. And buddy, they make hay when the sun shines, brother.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to this dude that fished with Jay a lot, that fished with me, great guy. But he says they got to get so shallow, you know, they fish so shallow up there. That's where everybody wet wades in Rockport comes down here with me wet wading, and they're all freezing. I said, man, we ain't no knee deep water. You ain't got nothing but deep water and plants around here. But he says they got to get shallow and try to get rid of them fish, because if you ain't in there real shallow, like, you know, your waist deep kind of deal, he says, man, 2/3 of what you throw back, the parpers are just waiting on you. He said, it's terrible down there.
Hey, with Cliff last year, me and John and Raphael are down there fishing with him, and we had to move. I mean, we'd have to leave an awesome school of fish just to keep from feeding the dolphins. I mean,
it's terrible, man.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's like a pack of wolves just, you know, laying under the boat, just waiting for you to start reeling them in. And you can actually try to fake them out and put your hand up and act like you're going to throw that trout over here and then throw him the other way. And that trout has no chance in the world. They suck him up as soon as he hits the water. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, they're too smart, dude. They know.
Well, all they do is swim around and find the boats that are catching fish. And they just sit there and feed out. It's kind of like seagulls on a garbage dump, you know?
It's the same thing. Well, you're reeling in. You're stressing that old fish out when you're reeling him. Those guys are smart. They said, this is easy. I don't have to go catch him in the wild. He's stressed. I can pop him right here. And
yeah,
just,
he can't get away.
No, and it's gotten here. There's a couple places like that here, Mickey, that I fish. You know, down here where I fish. It's gotten like that. Only a couple places they done figured it out that, okay, these dudes are going to have some old trout right here. The rest of the place is not so much. Shark may get all everything you got if you keep fish, but the porpoise won't, or the bottle, or whatever the hell they are. Bottles, porps, whatever. I guess porpoise in the Pacific, bottlenose dolphins here, I guess that's how it works.
Yeah, it's all the same to me, a dolphin, porpoise. Hey,
that's what I think. They look the same to me. Flipper, dude, flipper.
Greyhounding. Got them greyhounding over here.
Hey, remember Bud? Remember old Bud?
Old Bud and Flipper. Oh, yeah.
His old daddy was a game warden, had a pin yen boat. Remember them old pin yens?
Uh-huh.
And Bud had a little whaler. Remember that little 13 whaler?
Yep. That's who you reminded me of the first time I saw you pull up my 13 whaler that time. I thought
Bud,
of Flipper and Bud. You had that 35 horse Johnny Root on the back, and a compass on that dashboard that was It was bigger than my head. I said, look at that compass.
It was big. I got that from Wayne Owen. I guarantee you she wasn't going to spin on you.
That's like something you'd put in a hatteress, you know?
Ain't that the truth, buddy? Well, all right, man. I know you got to go.
I know. Well, hey, man, if somebody wants to come down and hang out and have some laughs and even catch a few fish, how they get a hold of you?
All right, buddy. 409-771-7306. Hey, watch Scotty. Scotty's lurking, buddy.
He left a couple of strokes out there I watched him miss that 4-foot putt on 17 or whatever it was, and then Rory is inside of him and missed the same putt. I'm going, oh my gosh, they read it to break into the hole and it burned the right edge and leapt out, both of them.
Their guys are so good, they both read it the same way. It must be super hard to read, but
yeah,
I like him. I like
that guy. I like his chances. I mean, he's captain consistent. I mean, he fought his driver all day. I think he only hit two fairways there for a while, and then at the end, he got it together.
He got it going. Hey, look at all the big dogs that went home, dude, that ain't playing this weekend.
I'm telling you, there's some good golfers didn't make the cut, brother.
You ain't kidding.
Well, and Shoffley and Rory barely made it. They were right on the cut line.
Well, eight bags, there ain't nobody really running away with it. So.
No. I mean, what's Scotty 5-under, and Vegas is 8-under. So
that's a couple of shots, dude. Hey, that course must be playing tough, Mickey. They're having problems, man.
Yeah, it's Rory. The last time he barely made the cut, it won over, and he was 10 strokes back. He came back and won it. So,
yeah. Well,
if
I guess
put my money on anybody, I'd put it on Scotty.
Me too. All right.
You see Phil, that run he had yesterday? He birdied four out of five holes, and then got in a bunker by the green. And took him 4 tries to get it out of the bunker.
Dude, it was a picture of me. I said, he looks like me in that bunker, man. I just gave up.
What will Phil do next? All right,
hey,
man.
Hey, dude, it was terrible. I honestly don't even like Phil, but I felt sorry for him. I said, man,
I like
up.
Phil. He's been around a long time, that guy.
I know.
He's an old man out there playing with the young guys. That's pretty cool. I like that part.
It is. He had a good run going too till he got in that bunker.
Yeah, he still wasn't going to make the cut. He was still 5-under, 5-over.
He's like me and you. We probably ain't going to make the cut. We'll still chunk.
No, I ain't made the cut. I'll just I'll be around, though. All right, dog.
All right,
see
dude.
You.
See
you later.
Bye.
All right. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break, national anthem and all that. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.